It's going to be a strange message, all right? It's going to be strange. So, you know, if nothing else, it'll keep you interested. Did anybody over the past month or so have any food? I mean, I'm talking about food. You know what I'm talking about? You know, holiday food. I went to put this thing on tonight. I said, man, wait a minute. Hold on a second here. I must have had some holiday food. I don't know if that problem has interceded on all y'all, but it has with me. And I don't know if any of you have had any time to meet with friends this time of year. Get around friends. Don't know if any of you have had a chance to get around family and had maybe some sweet fellowship. You know, we're getting ready to enter into the new year, and sometimes you come down a little bit. You got to go back to work. Who's got to go back to work on Monday? Who's got to go back to work on Tuesday? That's me. I get an extra day. I get Monday off. But then back to work on Tuesday we go, don't we? And the food, well, it's not gone, but it ain't the same, is it? And maybe the friends you don't get to spend as much time with, the family maybe came in to visit and they're gone, and the fellowship seems to drop off. And does anybody ever have a little bit of a crash when them holidays come crashing down on you? And I thank Brother Dennis for having a meeting tonight, because I was praying the other night. I was thanking the Lord for food and friends and family and fellowship. And he said, that's what you need to preach about. That's what you need to preach about. So it's a little strange, a little different. But I'll tell you this much on that first point about food. Can I say this? It's biblical. The Lord is about food. I mean, you just look in your Bible. You get in there and start looking at it. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Have you ever read in there someplace they were out there preaching? He was out there preaching and he said, let's feed these folks. They ain't got nothing to eat. And the disciples said, well, send them away. They're getting what they need spiritually. Send them away. He said, oh, no, no. What do you got? And little lad gave up his two fish and five loaves of bread, and the Lord fed, I think at one time it said he fed 5,000. Another time I think it said he fed 4,000. And that was just the men. I'm talking about the Lord is into feeding people. He fed them. He fed them. How you get over there and get a little bit further. And anybody ever hear about him raising up Lazarus from the dead? Everybody remember that story? If you look at that story and you go over there into chapter number 12, the first thing you find out they're doing right after the man got rose from the dead, well, let's go eat. First thing you find is that he says, let's go have something to eat. Amen. They're gathered around eating. I mean, there's so much in the Bible about eating. I could go on all night just about that. Good thing you fed us tonight, preacher. Amen. Good thing. Hey, if this was a Sunday morning message, you better have ate breakfast. Amen. Hey, it's about eating. I mean, it's all through the Bible. Then they went up there and they ate that Passover supper. And he break the bread again. Then there, after he rose from the dead, and them disciples coming on Emmaus Road, and they couldn't figure out who it was, Brother Joe, until he broke the bread. They said, that's him! That's him! That's him! Why did we know it was him? It was him. He's into feeding folks. Hey, I hope you had some good food. Hope you had some good food. Man, we had some. I mean, God's been so good to us. I was talking to Brother Joe earlier. I mean, he spoiled us rotten. If I told you about the food I've ate in the last month, if I started to write it down, I'm talking about living like a king. I am a king. Amen. The Lord has been good to us. Has he been good to you? Have you got to eat? Hey, thank the Lord for what he's done for you. If you get to eat, you have good food. Good food. This ain't just about food now. You all right? You all right? Just hold on. We'll get somewhere. We'll get somewhere spiritually here in a minute. First, got to talk about the food. That wasn't the only place that he fed them after he rose from the dead. If you remember, John said, I go a-fishing. They said, we go with you. They went out there fishing. They toiled all the night, didn't catch nothing. They run into Jesus. They were fishing all night. I'm sure they were hungry. And guess who had bread and fish upon the fire for them? He said, come and dine. Come and dine. I'm telling you, the Lord's into feeding folks. Not only did he, when he got done feeding them, he told Peter, he said, you love me? What did he tell him? He said, feed my sheep. Hey, he fed me. My hope tonight, I hope tonight that you'd pull up to the table and get something. Go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat. You can eat good. Hey, you don't have to eat, just eat good at the holiday season. Amen. I'm not talking about going over to Wegmans. We all got around here. You don't have a Wegmans, do you? Food Line. I ain't talking about Food Line. What they got at Food Line? They got a butcher shop there? We're spoiled, aren't we? We're spoiled. Food. The Lord's about giving us food. But I don't think it's about eating food. Listen, when he said, give us this day our daily bread. Somewhere in there, I think he's talking about something more than the toast in the morning. I hope there's something down in your soul hungering for that bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God, please give it to us. Somewhere over there in Matthew chapter number 4, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and Satan come to tempt him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he said these words, man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I just got a question for you. Are you hungry tonight for that bread? God, please let us eat the food. Let us get hungry for it like we should. I think if you go over there to John chapter number 6, he said this, I am that bread of life. And except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And a bunch of his disciples, when they heard that, they were coming around for the food. And he told them, he said, the reason you're here is because I was feeding you. Hey, I hope you didn't come tonight just for the food over there. It was good. I mean, but good reason to come. Nothing wrong with coming for that food. But Jesus said, all right, now listen, you're going to have to get this food. You're going to have to want this food if you want something to do with me. Now you can eat that food over there. I think there's a whole lot of folks that come for that food. And don't ever get the bread of life. What a shame. So sorry. Food. Thank the Lord for the food that He's given us. You'll find that spiritual food in the Bible. You'll find it in the preaching. You'll find it in some songs. But if you have never partaken of Him, if you've never tasted and see that the Lord is good, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what the Bible says. Oh, taste and see. Then this preaching's you're going to go, I gave somebody a bite of sushi the other night. First time they ever had sushi. Look at Brother Dennis. He's looking at me funny. I must be up in Cecil County. They're like, they got a good sushi place right down the street. I come by it on the way up here. Y'all ever ate there? Who's ever ate down there at that good sushi place down there? A few of them admitted to it. I gave that guy that sushi. He jumped up out of his seat and run for the bathroom. I said, man, I hope he recovers. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If you've never had and tasted Jesus, this is going to taste like bad sushi to you. You're like, man, when's He going to be done? When can I get out of here? I got to go home and turn on TV. But if you've ever tasted and seen that the Lord is good, somebody gets up and sings a song about how good He's been to us, how He walks through us through every dark valley. You want to kick out a foot? Hey, God's been good to me. Hey, take a taste tonight. Hey, church, remember how good He is. Go ahead. You don't have to stop eating on the Lord after January 1st. You can keep having Him. You can keep having Him. Good food. How about good friends? Fellowship of friends. Got food at the holiday. Got friends at the holiday. I had friends in this world before I was saved. I'm going to put a couple quotes around that. Friends. I didn't know how to be a friend to somebody. I really didn't know what a friend was, really, until I got saved. I was sitting there one night, it wasn't long after I got married. I was talking to Jeannie. She's talking about friends she had. I've had friends, and I got friends here, and I got friends there, and I need to get me a couple good friends, because I relocated her from Kentucky when she come and married me. And she said, I need to get me a couple good friends. I said, I got to thinking, I was sitting there, I said, you know, I don't really have too many friends. Really? I started feeling kind of bad. She said to me, she said, well, the Bible says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I said, I think he just tried to correct me and told me that I'm not very friendly. I was like, well, that's why God gave me a wife. Hey, listen, by the grace of God, I've been able to show myself friendly to some folks because He's been friendly to me. And I picked up a friend or two along the way. Thank you, Lord. Just one or two. Just one or two will be all right. I just guess I have to be a little more friendly, Brother Dennis. I'll get a couple more. I'm thankful for friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, Jeannie was right, it was in there, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad he showed himself friendly. I'm glad he showed himself friendly when he died for me on that cross. Glad he showed himself friendly when I was a sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He come looking for me in my darkest hour, in my darkest place. He came searching for me. Thank God. Thank God He's friendly. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I won't be a friend back to him this year. I won't be a friend back to him all the time. Are you a friend of Jesus? Are you a friend of Jesus? He wants to be your friend. I can't understand that, Brother Dennis. I mean, I just have a hard time getting that calculated in my mind. That the Lord of all glory, I'm talking about the King of all kings. I'm talking about the I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, wants to be a friend to me. I can't understand that. I can't comp. It does not compute in my mind that He wants to spend time. You ever have to lower yourself and try to get down to somebody else who's maybe not quite as intelligent as you? Somebody that maybe is a little slow, and the conversation normally gets dominated by them, and you're going, oh my goodness. I got a guy that sits right here. He's got, what's he got, Jeannie? He's got cerebral palsy. He had a stroke. He sits right here. He can't talk real good. Can't say much. That guy is my friend. He loves me more than I love him. I can promise you that. He sits right there in his wheelchair. He brings in a what's that thing called? Tambourine. Plays that tambourine. Sits right there. I'll be preaching along. He'll say, amen, preacher. Every now and then I'll hear out of his ear right here. He'll say, preach it, preacher. He's a friend of mine. But I'm real slow when it compared to me and the Lord. And I can't do much. I can't do much. But I'd like for the Lord to be able to say, see this guy over here in the front row. See this guy over here. See that guy over there down there at that little Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It ain't much. But he's a friend of mine. You say, how dare I? Well, it said over there, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Well, let me read it to you. I want to make sure I get it right. I'll misquote it. James 2:23. The scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I won't be his friend. I don't know about you. Anybody ever hear of this term? I don't know if this is in anymore or not. I preached this a couple years ago. I don't know if it was in then. Any of y'all ever heard BFF? Anybody ever heard that before? BFF. Anybody? Anybody know what that means? You and my family ain't allowed to answer. BFF. What's that mean? Best friends forever. And the young girls like to use it. And they change their BFF every other. And I said, that don't count then. You don't understand the definition of forever. They might have to go with BFT, best friends temporarily. That'd be more appropriate for what they do. They switch them up, them teen girls, them young teen, pre-teens, they switch it up their friends. I watch them. But I wrote this little note down. It's called Best Friend Forever. And it was based on 1 Kings 4:5. And Zabed, the son of Nathan, was principal officer and the king's friend. The king's friend. I won't be the king's friend. It was, in other words, they listed all the people and all their different titles and all the different things they had. And then we got down here to Zabed, and he was the principal officer. But the Bible didn't just say he was the principal officer. He said he was the king's friend. I don't just want a position. I just don't want to be saved. I want to be a friend of Jesus. And by the way, he wants to be your friend. My girls use an acronym that they like to say. BFF, best friends forever. As they go along life's way. So do you have one? Can everybody see? Your best friend forever. Is it clear who it might be? The position that they hold, oh how high. You'll always lift them up high up to the sky. And when you are alone, the talking you will do. And your BFF will always walk a mile in your shoes. And for this friend, you will always take the time. Lonely, bored, trouble, excited. I'm glad you're mine. You learn that in this soul to take the greatest trust. They will sacrifice for you, and you for them. It is a must. Jesus Christ is reaching out, and He would like to be the best friend forever to all who can hear and see. He sacrificed and paid it all to win over our heart. Just grab him by his hand. This friendship, it will start. He has never failed me. No, never let me down. And he has promised that one day I get to touch that golden crown. I got the deal of eternity when I wanted my BFF, he became. And he'll do the same for you. Just call upon his name. He's my friend. He's my friend. I won't be a friend of Jesus. You must show yourself friendly. Are you the king's friend tonight? Well, I hope you are. Well, we talk about food. That bread of life. Talk about friends. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about a little while about family. Just a little while about family. It might take me a minute. God's been good to me, Brother Joe. I think I said I was spoiled. I got good food. I got good friends. I got good family. I think you've seen some of them tonight. I don't know if they blessed you or not, but it blessed me.
Amen.
It blessed me. The Bible is full of the importance of family. By the way, the family is under attack. I mean, the devil is attacking the structure of the family. Now, I've seen it myself. I've lived it. I've cried. The Bible's for a mom and a dad. The Bible's for sons and daughters, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters. Let me ask you a question. You ever got bogged down in the genealogies of the Old Testament? You ever got to reading, you know, you're doing your daily Bible reading, and you get to one of them chapters, and you're like, this is nothing but a bunch of names. And you're just like trying to get through it. Anybody, that never happened to anybody, that's just me. You're trying to get through, you're like, I got to read this chapter. And then you start looking, you go, man, this is nothing but the next three chapters, is nothing but this. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm in trouble. I'm not going to be able to read this right. And it just starts talking about all these names. I'm just trying to tell you that for, if no other reason, it's there to tell you that family is important to the Lord. It's important to the Lord. No other reason. He's laying out, this one was this one's, and this one is this one's, and this one is this one. It's important who your family is. My family, if you look at my family, we're a little bit of a mess. Now, we had a bunch of leftovers. We had a bunch of leftovers, and we brought them to the Lord, Brother Dennis. I got saved. My wife had some issues in her life, and God put us together, and we just brought a bunch of leftovers to Him. I'm so glad He'll take our leftover families. So glad He'll take our leftover families and say, all right, let's see what we can do with it. Hey, you know what? I can do something with these. They're eating the food. They're trying to be a friend to me. Let's build them a family. Hallelujah. God's been good to me. I'm going to embarrass my wife. She gets embarrassed every time I do this. She started asking me. She say, when we first started saying to each other, I love you. I love you. She starts saying to me, she'd say to me, why do you love me? Why do you love me? Boy, that's a loaded question, Brother Dennis. Why do you love me? I had to give her the honest answer. I said, because God told me to. Now, I don't know if you ladies think that's very romantic or not, but my wife didn't find that real romantic. Why do you love me? Because God told me to. That doesn't sound very romantic. Can you come up with something else? Is there another reason also? Well, she didn't realize how important that was to me. See, I'd been in this world and I knew what love wasn't. I'd found out what it was not. And I just wanted what God wanted me to be. I wanted who He wanted me to have. I didn't want it to be anywhere with anybody that He didn't want me to. And when He said that, she's yours, now love her like Christ loved the church, I said, hallelujah! I can love someone like I'm supposed to because Christ loved me. And I told her, I said, I love you because God told me to. And I get to love her that way. And if He hadn't told me to, I wouldn't be able to love her right. Hey, you know why we get broke up families? People get together for the wrong reasons. Amen. God tells you to love somebody. He ain't going to tell you to stop. If He didn't tell you to love them, then you can stop on your own because you're the one who started it. I think it says something over there, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I think we got it backwards somehow or another. We're putting stuff together and then asking God to fix it. Help us, Lord. I'm going to embarrass her. Look in Proverbs 31 and you will see it describe a woman who is very dear to me. Jeannie, just like me, she uses her middle name. Yet in many other ways our closeness is the same. It's clear she loves me with all of her heart, even though I've tested her right from the start. And never once has she really let me down. She fears the Lord and is in search of that golden crown. It says that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but God made her pretty just the same. From her hourglass shape to her little brown eyes, her ever-changing hair will take you by surprise. Any of you fellas have that problem? So I get good and not evil all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me from strife and giving me a woman whose price is far above rubies. And the best is yet to come, just like in one of her movies. We're going to get to heaven one day. She got one of them little signs in our bathroom. It says, "Come grow old along with me. The best is yet to be." And I come out and I told her one time, I said, "That's a lie." I said, I'm having trouble even. I got to get up more in the night. I'm aching when I do get up. I said, we got all kind of issues going on. That can't be true. And the Holy Ghost, a couple days later, come by and slapped me upside the head and said, "It's perfectly true if you're thinking about heaven and not here." I had to go back and tell her. I said, "Yeah, the best is yet to come, honey. That sign's right." Amen. Amen. Family, husbands love your wives. Husbands love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Remember to love your wife. And it says over there, it talks about children. Well, I'm glad for my children. They've been a blessing. Been a blessing to me. Got some I'm praying for. Amen. You have eight of them. Watch what happens. I don't know. I've seen some that have eight and they do all good. I must have missed somewhere. Probably must have missed somewhere. The devil likes to come tell me that. You messed up. Well, I'm just going to do what I know to do right today. If you got one that's going sideways, don't let the devil come and tell you you messed up and get you down about it. Just do what's right today. Keep plowing. Amen. I may have messed up along the way. We're going to keep serving the Lord best way we know how. I got some children. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." I'm saying the Bible's big on family, isn't it? Let's see here. I got one here about... Let me do this one here about Jesse. I know Jesse got some girl from this church sitting next to him. I don't know. Y'all all right with that? Be careful. Keep an eye on him. Makes me nervous. I don't know about you, Sister Pam, Brother Adam. Makes me nervous. I mean, it seems like she's a sweet girl. I mean, she seems really sweet. I just want to make sure God put them together. Amen. I just want to make sure God put them together. I don't like them putting themselves together. It makes me nervous. I did this when Jesse turned 16. "You were born 16 years ago, a big bouncing boy. How you brought your mom and I so much deep felt joy. The years have come and gone now. It sometimes makes us sad. But the young man you've grown into, it makes my heart glad. You loved to sleep on your back and we could see your eyes. But when they weren't looking back at us, it really made us cry." You remember that, Brother Benny, Sister Tara? He couldn't see. "Preacher Willard Dixon said there was prayer to be had. And when the Lord healed your sight, it made my heart glad." Amen. William Jesse Clanton Hanks. It is a very big name, but it has some very big meaning. It wasn't just a game. William passed down Jesse my heart and Clanton from Granddad. If you follow in his steps, you'll make my heart glad. Oh, the things that we've enjoyed, this boy of mine and me. Basketball, video games, golfing, dirt bikes, an old movie on TV. Let's go shoot some guns or build a deer stand with this lad. No matter if it's work or play, makes my heart glad. So, son, you're getting older now. You look at me eye to eye. Many trials will come your way. Satan, your faith will try. If you walk close to Jesus, side by side in this life that we have, you can rest assured that in the end, you made my heart glad. Amen. Hey, the Lord's about family. But you know, it's not just about your immediate family. I remember over there in the Bible, they said, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are looking for you." And he answered and said, "Who is my mother?" Now, don't get it wrong. The Lord loved his mother and cared for his mother. If you don't think so, while she was there, while he's hanging on the cross, he looked down at John and he said, "Behold your mother, a woman, behold your son." He was looking out for his mom. He loved who he was. His mother was special to him, but he was trying to get a point across to you and I. He said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." You know how I got you in my phone? You know how you're in my phone? Brother Dennis Gilbert.
Amen.
How you doing? You know how you're in my phone? Mm-hmm. Brother Joe Newsom. I don't put everybody in there, brother. They all aren't in my family. Now, if they'd get saved and start talking about Jesus, I'd put them in. I'd have to go back in there and edit. Find that edit button. And put them in there, brother or sister. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the family of God. I'm amazed that I'm in the family of God. You know, hey, y'all have that crazy person in your family. Everybody got them. You got that one that you're like, "Oh my goodness, what's he going to say next?" You found him. Amen. If I get to know you too long, I'll embarrass you like I did my family tonight. Amen. You got that crazy brother. Hey, listen, church. Isn't it good to have family? Isn't it good to have family? It's a new year. Don't neglect your family. Don't neglect your family. So many folks are neglecting their family, both at the holiday and during the year. But I'm talking about, hey, if you're born again, you're saved, you got a family, don't neglect them. Amen. Don't neglect your family. You get away from your family, you get away from... I'll just tell you this much. You get away from your family, you will bring dishonor to your family name. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us. I can't get over. I still can't get another thing I can't get over. Not only is he my friend, but you get over there in Romans chapter number 8. Starts talking about how that we're adopted into the family. Whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And it says that we're heirs of God. There's a statement in there that I still ain't got quite figured out yet, Brother Joe. It says we're heirs of God. I don't know if you know anything about inheritance or not. Now, if you had Bill Gates as a father, you'd understand inheritance. You'd understand it quite well. You'd be like that boy over there in where was that? Luke 15, is that right? The prodigal son. "Give me my inheritance. Let me have some of that. I need some of that now." Well, you got somebody. Listen, if you're born again, you got somebody a whole lot richer than Bill Gates.
Amen.
Then you start wondering, "Well, I wonder how Dad's going to cut up this inheritance among the family." You ever have them debates? Wonder how to... This is my daughter, Brittany. She got adopted. She got adopted into the family. So did I. I'm an adoptee into the family of God. That's what it says over there in Romans chapter number 8. It says I'm an adoptee. That's why Brittany got adopted, because I got adopted. He said, "I adopted you, adopt her." Now at the adoption, it said, now this is making this a legal binding contract that she is your daughter. You wouldn't believe what this guy was telling me. The tears began to run out of my eyes when they said, "Now we're going to take her birth certificate and her social security number, and we're going to put it in this envelope. We're going to send it down to Annapolis, and here's her brand new birth certificate." You know what it said on it? It said, "Mother, Angela Jean Hanks." It said, "Father, William Bradley Hanks." Here's her new social security. She is a totally brand new person, unless the only person that can dig up her past is her. I began to cry. That's what God did for me.
That's right.